League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 6, episode 39. And again, we're down to just me and Jeff this week. Steph's still on vacation. And Tim has brought a new life into the world along with Caitlin. The baby was born on the 26th, and his name is baby Gilbert Pratt Andrews. So we want to welcome a new radio into the world. And I'm sure they are having a lovely time staying up all night long, dealing with all the things you deal with a newborn.
I'm waiting for the Tim's TikTok videos where he does Gilbert Gottfried's voice and just has the baby on the TikTok.
Yeah, we wish them all the best, and they're going to be back with us soon. But we're going to tonight, we're going to do a little different show. We're going to do a theme show. Now, we've talked about for a while. If everybody listens, you know that me and Jeff are both huge Kevin Smith fans. So we thought that we would have some time to ourselves here. We try to get all of that together in one episode and do a Kevin Smith centric episode. And who better to invite back to the show, who has been with us a few times on the show. And we want to thank him for coming tonight and spending some time with us and giving his two cents on the whole Kevin Smith cultural phenomenon that it is. Thanks for coming, Ming.
I mean, how other way can I kick off the show by saying, hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen. And yes, you're listening to Radio Labyrinth. I can't help myself. Thank you for the warm welcome. I love seeing you guys either virtually, but especially in person. And hopefully we'll be able to do that soon.
Yeah, with Dragon Con coming back up this year, we were talking about it earlier. In person this year, we can pretend like 2020 never happened and roll right back into the fun we were having in 19.
Yeah, and to tie it back to Kevin Smith, the first time I met Kevin, we talked in 1996, so it's been 25 years. And I think I was talking to him on the phone. He's like, "Hey man, I gotta go. I gotta catch a flight. I'm going to a Comic Con." I'm like, "Which one?" He's like, "This one called Dragon Con." I'm like, "That? What's that?" Like, I don't know, some con in Atlanta. I was like, "Who else is there?" He was like, "Oh, it's me and Mark Hamill." And I was like, "Holy, that sounds awesome." And little did I know, years later, I would discover the madness that is Dragon Con. But it surprised me that one time Kevin and Mark Hamill were invited guests over there.
That preceded my time going to Dragon Con. I started going in 98, so I missed them by 2 years, I guess.
Kevin, pretty chill guy. I can't imagine him, hanging out on the floor of the Marriott, getting drunk, going to 3 a.m. raves, whatever. But one time, that was the kind of guest they got there in 96. I thought it was pretty cool.
He needs to come back.
Anyways, I can't wait to see you guys there. That's out of everything out of 2020. That was that had to be in the top 10 of things I missed last year.
They did a pretty decent job putting on a show virtually. They did the best they could, but it was nothing like being at Dragon Con in person. Do you want to talk about how you got into Kevin Smith?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think like most people, actually not like most people, I'm old. So I fell in, I saw Clerks first.
Right.
I was going to school in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the University of Michigan. So it actually did play at our local art house theater, but like I didn't see movies like that. I didn't go to like French New Wave or whatever. But I remember seeing an ad in the paper. I remember my friend was like, oh, man, I heard that movie was funny. And that was pretty much the end of it. I wasn't going to go to the art house theater. But I was working at a video store at the time. It was a combination video store / arcade. So it was a perfect place to just go get a job and not do anything. So yeah. I literally just sat there. And when I got the job, I was like, ooh, I'll get to play free video games all the time. But they didn't give lowly employees like me the key so I could push the free credits button. So I had nothing to do but watch. I didn't even get to watch the movies. Like there was no VCR hooked up to the TV. But it stuck in my head that my friend said that movie was funny. And one day it came in on VHS and my job was to put it into the system so other people could rent it, so the store could make money and then I could stay employed. But instead I remember sticking, you know, that my friend said it was funny. So, I didn't check it in. I took it home and I watched it with my brother, and I remember being blown away by I was like, okay, this is black and white, but you know, once the dialogue started, I was like, holy crap, man, these guys, there's a scene where two dudes are talking about stormtroopers changing out toilets on the Death Star for 10 minutes. That scene stuck with me. And the one where Randall is arguing with the video store customer, he's like, are these any good? He's like, I don't watch movies. I'm like, what a great answer. And, you know, being at a video store, working at a video store, I wish I could talk like that, but I just didn't have it in me. I was like, holy crap, this movie is awesome. So, yeah, no, I totally became obsessed with it. And I was trying to figure out who this Kevin Smith guy was or Silent Bob. And there were a couple of vague articles on the internet. Eventually I just became borderline obsessed with it. It was kind of like seeing Star Wars again, except there were no like laser swords or ray guns or Wookiees. It was just two dudes talking about Star Wars. But just the dialogue. I was like, this guy, like this Kevin Smith guy. Like I wanted to be friends with him, I think. And coincidentally, at the same time, I was learning how to build websites. I'd met these geeks that was like, hey, you ever heard of the World Wide Web? I'm like, no, what's that? And they showed me. And then they're like, you know, you could build one of these website things. I was like, really? I could like build a temple to myself on the internet? I thought that was really cool. And so I ended up just kind of channeling that obsession, that fandom, into building a fan website. And there were actually a couple of them out there already, but I was like, man, screw these guys, man. I'm going to build like the best one. And I think my ultimate goal was just to have Kevin see it and just email me and be like, hey, man, nice job, kid. But instead he saw it and he gave me a job. So it worked out. I guess I'm kind of proud of that because this is pre Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. There was no way to reach out to people that you really liked. So, God he stepped into an internet cafe that day and found it, and then found a way to, he literally gave me a phone call after he saw it. He was like, hey man, great job. Can you do more of these? I was like, who is this? But yeah, it's pretty much how I met Kevin back in 96. So, for any kids listening out there, I know you have a lot of children, you know, impressionable children listening to Radio Labyrinth. You know, if you become a fan of something, like channel that into something, and you might get the attention of the people who created it. You might get a job with them. You never know.
Yeah, so that's where, I mean, I was in the same boat. I was working in a video store, and Clerks had come. I was working at Blockbuster soon, so it was a straight up Blockbuster. And Clerks came in, and it was the cool pack that came with the jersey, and you know, it had the screener as well as the floor copy. And so I of course snagged the jersey, and I still have the jersey here somewhere. I still see them now on eBay every now and again. The blue.
Yeah, it was a really weird teal and black and white. And I guess there's supposed to be like the San Jose Sharks colors, I guess.
Yeah, I never could figure out who it was supposed to be, but it definitely didn't look like anyone, or definitely any of the jerseys that came afterwards.
Probably the cheapest one that was like way, like nobody wants this one. We'll just put the Clerks logo on it.
Yeah. And it was extremely uncomfortable. I did wore it a few times, but it was like wearing like a wool burka or something.
Very scratchy. Yes. Yeah. But it's still cool. It's a piece of history for sure. But,
and that was the same thing with me. I mean, I saw the movie and I saw what, you know, what they were talking about. And I wanted to say those same things, you know, to our customers. And so it definitely struck a chord, you know, with me. And at the same time, you know, this is happening, I get on, you know, the fledgling internet and joined up on your website, that, you know, the original message boards.
Awesome.
I think Jeff, you're an original message board dude too.
Sure. Yep.
That was a fun place where a lot of us could really, you know, kind of share what is now, you know, a very common internet experience. But we got to originally do that on your website and brought a lot of, you know, started a lot of friendships and a lot of good times, you know, for the future.
Crazy, right? Some of those friendships like still exist to this day. It's insane.
Well, what's weird is, I mean, I think I'm not sure if I met Jeff on there or on MySpace first, but it was, I mean, it was something where I knew of Jeff, saw him all the time in the, you know, online when we were on there, had conversations here and there about trivial stuff. I had no idea that he lived in Atlanta at the time or, you know, when we were first, you know, ended up in Atlanta and for years later, and then, you know, I heard him on Radio Labyrinth and I thought it would be a good idea to create a fan site for Radio Labyrinth because there was no one that had one. And so I created one. And now it's been a few years later and I'm a member of the show now. And, you know, and I do all the YouTube production of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if you like something, show somebody that you like something and you may get a job out of it.
Yeah. Create something out of it. And you never know whether it's artwork or a YouTube channel or a TikTok, like whatever. There's so many ways you could go about it.
I had been getting Film Threat magazine. I didn't have a subscription, but like every couple of weeks we would go to the mall to see a movie. And there was a little magazine shop that was down the hall from the movie theater. And I would just go in there and get like zines and Spy magazine. And I would always grab Film Threat whenever I saw it. And I remember reading about Clerks in Film Threat magazine and thinking, oh man, I got to see this. And then I ended up getting a job on a Caribbean island in the British Virgin Islands. This was the year before Clerks came out. So what would that be? 94.
Yep.
So yeah. So I moved to the Caribbean island and there was a movie theater there, but they showed like one movie and it played for like months at a time and they would never play Clerks. But after I had been there for about a year, a video store opened. And so we were browsing around the video store and there was a copy of Clerks. And I said, oh shit, I remember reading about this in Film Threat. I'm going to rent this right now. So I like signed up for a membership at the video store and rented Clerks, took it home and popped it in the VCR and watched the whole thing and just was blown away by the whole movie. And so I went, I left my room. I went, I gathered up as many people as I could find. And then I moved my TV out into the living room. And like me and like 10 other people watched it a second time. And I'd never done that before where I watch a movie and then immediately watch it again afterwards. It's happened a couple of times since then, but this is the first time that ever happened. And then all those people went and got more people and then they watched it again. I didn't watch it a third time at that time, but they brought in more people. And then I was just quoting Clerks nonstop. And my friends down there were like, we got to have a moratorium on the Clerks quotes, man. You can't do that anymore.
You letterkennied him into the ground.
I did.
Well, I love that you made it go viral too.
Yeah, that was the way to go viral with the back then.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we didn't have any internet back then. Internet just started as I was getting ready to leave. So the whole 2 years I was there, there was no internet at all.
Now, when was your first experience Ming on a set?
That would be Dogma for sure. So I've been working with Kevin for about 2 years. I remember he did invite me to the set of Chasing Amy, but I was in Michigan. I was in college. I had no means to get out to New Jersey, and I didn't even think he was serious. I mean, it was. Yeah, he was like, "Hey, come. You can come out this week if you want." And you know, if I lived down the street or in the next town, yeah, I guess I would have driven over, but not like you know, it would involve me getting on an airplane, like going to some place that I'd never been to before in New Jersey, and I didn't even know if he was serious. So, I think he halfway he was trying to get. I would have maybe wound up in the Comic-Con scene at the beginning or the end of Chasing Amy. I guess a couple years later, 98, he was like, "Hey, I'm shooting Dogma. Come to Pittsburgh on this
day." Were you in Jersey by that point?
I was working in Washington DC. Like I had a real job then. But, by this time I was like, okay, I think he's serious this time. Cause they had me call a number and then they booked a hotel and all this. I was like, whoa, okay, this is cool. And, I ended up driving from DC to Pittsburgh, which was about 7 hours. And I remember the address he gave me, I pulled up and it was this divey rundown strip club in like a really bad section of Pittsburgh, but I saw the movie trucks outside. So I was like, okay, I guess this is legit. And, met some of the people there. And then, I wound up, like there was a call sheet and all this. So I was like, holy crap. And I remember I saw him and I was like, "Hey man, this is really cool. Congratulations. How's everything going?" I'm like, he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna put you in the movie." I'm like, "All right, so I'm gonna be in the background or something. That's cool, man. I get to be in a Kevin Smith movie. Like, how awesome is that?" He's like, no, I got something special planned for you." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, what's that?" He's like, "Well, I'm gonna put you next to me and Jay as Jay and Silent Bob." I'm like, "Holy crap, that's awesome." I was like, "Well, is this where you're shooting? This looks like a weird, like a dive bar or something." He's like, "Oh yeah, no, it's a strip club scene." So I'm like, "So what do you want me to do?" He's like, "Well, I'm gonna put you next to me and Jay, and so the scene is this: Salma Hayek's gonna come out, she's gonna take her clothes off. I want you to act like you're really loving this."
It's a real stretch.
I'm like, "Yeah, I think I can do that. You know, I'm gonna have to go De Niro, like total method, but I think I can do this." And then you know, all of a sudden, they're shooting the scene. Is like, "Ming, I'd like you to meet my friend Chris Rock. He's in the movie." He's like, holy crap. Like, you know, Million Man March, like that Chris Rock, SNL's Chris Rock, like, holy crap. And, you know, I met Salma Hayek and Linda Fiorentino and I was like, holy crap, man, it was pretty mind blowing. And, but I think the thing that struck me being on a Kevin Smith set, everyone was really friendly. I guess at that time, I'd gotten some kind of reputation because I was hearing whispers from the crew. I was like, "Oh man, that's the website guy. That's Ming. He runs a website." Like I was like, "I'm just a nerd who sits behind a computer. Like I run I ban people on a message board. Like what? Yeah. What? That's the. This is cool." And I remember the special effects guys were like, "Hey man, great. It's great to meet you. You want to see the poop monster?" I'm like, "Yeah." So yeah, they showed me the shit demon. They showed me the 55-gallon drums where they're keeping like the fake shit, like all this stuff. I made friends with the hair and makeup lady. It was pretty cool. I got like royal, like somewhat like a royal treatment on the set. And I shot for like 2 days, and it was, you know, I'm just a kid from the Midwest, from Michigan, man. Like I don't know what being on a movie set is like, but like they fed me. And then I remember when I got home, I got this envelope in the mail. I'm like, "Holy crap! They paid me! I got paid for this! Like, I got like $200 for like, yeah, I easily would have done it for free." But yeah, that was cool. I remember talking to some of the extras. They're like, "What is this?" I'm like, "This is a Kevin Smith movie. Like, I was a fan." The extras had no idea what the hell was going on. They didn't know who Kevin was. They didn't know, you know, they're just doing it for a paycheck. They were like retired teachers and stuff. And it blew my mind at that time that no one knew, like they got hired, but they had no idea what was going on. It was a great experience. So, and you know, I've noticed on every Kevin set after that I get to go and hang out on, same thing. Everyone, it's very laid back, very fun. Everyone's having a great time. So I think that reflects on the movies as well. So,
now, did you that kind of parlayed it into that same year did you also, you worked on Big Helium Dog, Brian Lynch's film, right?
I mean, that was that, and yeah, I have a bit part in Brian Johnson's movie Vulgar as well, but that was literally like, hey man, can I come hang out for the day? And I would go, and it's, you know, it's an independent movie. They need people. They're like, hey man, you want to be in the movie? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So yeah, in Vulgar, you know, not ironically, I play a comic book shop clerk. And then in Big Helium Dog, I guess I reprised my role because I'm in the background of a strip club scene. So
that guy that hangs out at the strip club in all those Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, and if I forever get typecast as either a comic book shop clerk or a strip club patron, I won't complain about that whatsoever.
Speaking of comic book, man, is there been any news of coming back?
I've heard nothing since we got canceled. So, I mean, the word now is that, yeah, Brian Q. Quinn from Practical Jokers just signed a big development deal with Warner Brothers, I believe it is. And I believe he says, like, hey, man, I'm going to pitch the return of Comic Book Men. And I'm like, dude, if there's anyone who could bring it back besides Kevin, it would be you. Like, you're pretty powerful in the industry now, you know, especially with your MTV, whatever, movie award win or award mm-hmm. win.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're on one of the hottest, most recognizable shows on TV. If we're coming back, that's definitely an avenue that might work out. So I'm ready, man. I think we're all ready. We've remained pretty sharp. You know, the insults have not stopped by any means. If anything, they've gotten better, you know, more sharper, more biting for sure. So, and then, you know, we got the whole new Jay and Silent Bob secret stash to play around in. I think that would kind of give it a fresh new look too, because it looks really cool in there. So, I mean, from what I've met, you know, for all the fans, no one seems sick of it even after 7 years. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, after 8 seasons of like Elf, people are like, I'm all right, I get it. You're an alien, you eat cats. We're not gonna watch anymore. But for Comic Brand, it seems like people want more now. So I'm ready, man.
It seems like they ought to be able to throw you on somewhere. I mean, if they have that guy doing laundry on that show on Discovery yeah. Plus.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, I'm still going to cons. I'm still getting booked at cons. And I think a lot of people watch it during the quarantine. So it seems like a lot of new fans have been made, and it hasn't really slowed down. So it's kind of cool.
Now, yeah. with the... you know, the comic book men stopping and you know, shared universe picking up for you, what's your connection now with Kevin and with the family?
I'm no longer at the store. I'm working full time on this podcast studio where we help people launch podcasts, which I think was pretty kind of a really perfect transition. Because not only is this what I love to do, and I love showing other people how to do it, but it kind of takes a page out of Kevin's book, where he's like, "Hey, man, find out, you know, whatever you love to do, go try and make a living out of it." And so I'm still doing a lot of freelance work for Kevin. Every so often, they're like, "Hey, we need something." Your background there, that Berserker image. Mm-hmm. There used to be a Berserker t-shirt, and I guess they couldn't find the original file for it to reprint more. So they're like, hey, do you have it? And I've kind of archived everything, but that I couldn't find. So I just spent a couple of days remaking it. And I think actually I improved it a little bit. So it's little random things like that.
How's the shared universe doing? You looking to expand yet?
I am. It's been getting pretty crazy. Like, you know, started out as a weird little idea, and you know, podcasters, you know, we do our own shows, but ultimately, you know, you have so much fun doing something. It's kind of like Clerks, you know, how we saw, it's like, oh man, everybody should see this. Same thing with podcasting. I'm like, this is so much fun. Like, everybody should be doing this. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to show other people how to do it and I don't know them, like, I might as well get paid for the privilege.
Right.
I mean, that's not like that just keeps the lights on and food on the table. It's the same idea, though. It's like, this is so awesome that I want to show other people how awesome this is. So, it started as a weird little idea, but it as time goes on, this medium is just exploding. So I think we hit it at the right time. So, I, you know, we have a couple studios here in New Jersey, but yeah, I, I, I fully plan on opening in Atlanta and Houston and just places where I have special connections to. I love Atlanta, man. I think Atlanta's ripe for something like that. I mean, you guys have proven that, you know, above and beyond for sure. But I would, if I had like Brian Quinn money, like it would have happened already.
I'll keep at it, man.
Trying, man. Trying.
You need to get a couple of super famous podcasts recording in there. And
oh, I have no doubt that, no doubt that'll happen. So
until Dave comes in there every now and then.
Oh, here. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which is, you know, kind of the ultimate, like, you know, because, you know, they're always just busting on me. And they, I think they had made fun of me several times for podcasting too much. Yeah. But now, if you look at their slate, man, they're, you know, they're putting out stuff every day, but they're just getting paid a lot more than I am through their Patreon. So
yeah, they've taken real advantage of that Patreon.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's smart, man.
Yeah,
it's smart. They're, you know, I'm not gonna call them geniuses, but smart though, for sure.
They're definitely taking care of their Patreons.
I geez, man, I didn't even know they had it in them. But once I've always called Walt Flanagan a dangerous man. Once you get him excited about something, and he doesn't get excited about much. Once you get him excited about something, and he'll get stuff done, man. He's a dangerous man.
Yeah, he's they're putting so much of the content, you know, out for their Patreon. I mean, a lot of people that aren't on their Patreon and wouldn't know. I mean, and just looking at what they're putting out for free, have no idea that. I mean, they've got hours and hours and hours of not only audio, but video as well.
Yeah, it's great. Merchandise, all this stuff. And I feel fortunate every so often I get to go and play with them as well. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool. You get to bring them in your house now. So that's kind of, it seems like the little brother getting to show up the big brother.
Every so often, not very often, but every so often. I love having them in here. They can come anytime they want.
You were kind of around at the infancy of Tell 'Em Steve Dave, weren't you? Did they ever talk to you about engineering or being the Brian Quinn?
No, I mean, I kind of set them up because we had equipment in there already for when Kevin would come to town. And that was all for like East Coast Smodcast. But even I remember it was actually Scott Mosier who sent me a list of stuff to buy because he had done sound over at Skywalker. So he had some knowledge of audio equipment, and I remember I went to Guitar Center and just bought a bunch of stuff, and I kind of figured it out. But I mean, if you listen to some of the early episodes, a lot of people are overloading, and so the sound's not that awesome. It's definitely something I had to figure it out. But once they started, they're kind of off and running. I think I like, you didn't even hear me until maybe episode 4 or 7.
Right.
I think where they had me do an introduction. And then I guess at some point I did something that they felt was egregious, and they brought me down to yell at me, and then it was kind of off to the races with that. So,
but it never until then nobody thought, hey, let's have Ming also be on the show.
I mean Brian Quinn wasn't even supposed to be on.
Right. And then the people hated Quinn talking too.
Yeah, it was so weird. I guess they just wanted him down there so they could hang out with him. And then I was like, why would you not have him on, though? He's a funny dude. And, you know, he showed all of them up in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I remember at one point, maybe about 12 or 15 episodes in, they were joking around about having, like, a fourth member. And there were these kind of weird auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd brought me on at one point, like me and, like, Sunday Jeff. And I can't remember who else they brought on. But I think it was, you know, they kind of did it as a joke. To have like a fourth member, but they brought me on quite often because I guess whatever I did in life, they felt was egregious enough to turn into a segment or just come down and make fun of me. And I guess people started digging that though, because they're you know what they're masters at? They're masters at making whatever I do, it could be like the most mundane thing. And then making it sound like the most fucked up thing, and by the end they're so good at it, I was like, oh man, maybe I did fuck up. Like, I was convinced. Yeah, it was so weird, but yeah, that's a talent, man. They're so good at. I guess now they call it gaslighting. I guess
yeah,
there's a term for it now. But they, it, yeah, but now that there wasn't, you know, and they were so good at it, where to a point where I started doubting myself.
Well, what was the first thing that they really got you on? Was it the photos?
That was one of them. And yeah, the only reason they did that, it was so weird. So there was a thing called the Not So Super Bowl where they convinced me for a month to look at pictures of toilet bowls filled with shit.
And
they had me convinced that at the end of the month that there would be a contest and I would have to pick a winner. And I don't know why I went along with this. It just sounded it sounded like fun, I guess. But in the end, it ended up being a trick to just make me look at pictures of shit that people would submit via email for a solid month. And I guess they were mad at me because we had played a street hockey game. And for the championship game, I was kind of the captain. And I told them they didn't have to play, or I told them not to play. But the only reason I told them not to play is Walt was on one knee and he was limping, and Brian Johnson was all sore. I was like, "Well, you guys can sit out. You know, you guys don't need to." And we're gonna get hammered at this championship game anyways. We're playing a real Canadian team. Like, yeah. I don't want you guys to tear a hamstring or blow out a knee. But I guess they took offense to that, and they decided as a revenge that they would make me look at toilet bowls full of shit for a month. And I did. I took that seriously, man. I had rankings. I had
had a winner picked out.
I had a winner picked out. Yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, oh, that was a trick. Like, what a weird. Yeah, it was such a weird way to get back at me that I couldn't help but laugh at it.
And that was a fun time. Those first, let's say, 30 to 40 episodes.
Yeah.
They were kind of learning, you know, which way they were going to take the show and the organic process of it.
Yeah. I mean, but they've been making fun of me since 96 when I first met them. So, but I think through the podcast, it was just like a documented way and other people got to hear it. So,
and they could start like long plays where they could joke and run it for a year.
For years. As much as they give me crap, they're pretty brilliant at it. I got to give them that. I really do.
Master ball busters, those guys.
Yeah, they are. In the end, it is like a big brother, little brother dynamic, I guess, even though like they're only like 6-7 years older than me. But and then, you know, I didn't grow up with them, so I was hired later. So it's a whole little brother thing. Plus, I guess, you know, looking back, I think I do actually bring a lot of it on myself. So there's no doubt about that.
And you take it so well. That's what that if you got mad and didn't take it so well, I don't think it wouldn't have gone so well.
I think, yeah, and that's just part of that is just growing up in the Midwest. Like, you really don't give a shit if people make fun of you. You just kind of brush it off. I think a lot of it was, you know, just kind of growing up Asian in a mainly white Midwest town. Like, you can't get mad, you know, otherwise people might take it the wrong way. You just kind of roll with it. And, you know, instead of fighting back with my fists, like, I would fight back with humor, I think. And that's kind of how I survived my childhood. And, to me, you know, people like comic book man, people are like, why do you let Brian pick on you so much? Like, he's such an asshole. Like, how do you handle that? And to me, I'm like, look at the guy. Like, he lived in his mom's basement. he hasn't paid taxes since 2007, I think. And, you know, he's just, and you know, he had a pill problem, and like, and he had the life, man. He was on TV and he was still complaining about it. Like, that's the guy making fun of me. He's like, I can take it from him. Yeah. Get out of here.
Well, yeah, and knowing that he's Randall, I mean, you kind of expect.
Oh yeah,
you expect it.
Yeah, I can let whatever they throw at me, I can let it roll off my back. Like, sometimes I even laugh because I was like, man, that you know, that joke, the way you're making fun, it is pretty brilliant. You know, if it was just kind of like, you suck, and you know, and you're an asshole. If it was just like, with no thought behind it, I'd be like, okay, whatever. But you know, those guys, they're pretty brilliant at it. And yeah, I always, you know, every so often you got to tip your cap to them. It's like, all right, you got me.
Yeah, what you were saying earlier about Kevin, you just wanted to be his friend. When Tell Him Steve Dave started, I was, you know, avid Smogcast listener from the very beginning and loved the episodes with, you know, when Brian or Walt or both would come on Smogcast. Yeah. And, you know, that started the whole Why Bri, yep, and all of the stories of Brian's debauchery. And so, you know, what listening to, you know, and it's that, that curse of podcasters I've learned over the years that if you put yourself out there, people are going to relate to you, but they're also going to assume that they know you.
Sure.
And they assume that there's already a connection there, even though you've never met this person before in your life. And so I had a problem with Tell 'Em Steve Dave with that same situation where I, it was around episode 18 of Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and they had just done Making Hay, and that was so good. And they had thought about bringing in, they had bought the iguana that they,
Eugene Iguana Dave.
Yeah. And so they were like, somebody's got to make, you know, somebody make a picture of this. And fan art, they hadn't started getting really any fan stuff coming in at that point. So I had just gotten an iPhone, my first iPhone. And I was like, man, I can make something. And so I was like, well, what would I make? And I'm like, well, these guys are, you know, they got a raunchy sense of humor. They'll be able to, you know, take whatever I can send over there. They'll think it's funny. So, they didn't, I sent in a few pictures of Photoshop with not only Eugene the iguana, but I took the guy that they met at Making Hay. I found a photo of him, and I started photoshopping Walt and him and the iguana into pictures of mature porn. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I sent him in via Brian. Right. And Kevin was on the show, the next show, and he was in town, and it was one of those where he showed up for the first 30 minutes and then he dipped for the last 30 minutes. So as soon as he dipped, Brian was turned to Walt and was like, I wanted to ask you about these pictures that I get in. And Walt had a meltdown. He was like, this guy needs to be put in jail.
Yeah, I remember that.
So
that was you.
That was me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was the one that made those and sent them in. And it's funny because recently with you know, we were going to have Walt on as well. We had asked him to come on tonight and he couldn't do it. And, we were going to refresh his memory, 'cause I was going to make this an apology, you know, for that, because in finding those photos to send him one to refresh his memory, I got to look at them again.
Yeah.
And I deserve to be sent to jail.
Yeah, it's like, wow, there might be something wrong with me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was one of those where I really thought that, you know, I knew these guys enough to where they would think this is funny. And, Brian did. Brian thought it was hilarious. Walt was really the only person that had an issue with it. And Quinn thought it was a little creepy, but funny.
Yeah.
But, and I got a message back from Brian saying, hey man, don't sweat Walt. He was just, you know, he's just being Walt. But for years, I've always kind of had that in the back of my head as an apology. But now seeing them again recently, after 15 years,
right.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But I definitely understand how people, you know, think they have a connection with you. And that's, in some ways, that's really good because it can open up doors for you. But in other ways, it can really mess with your psyche, I guess, when you've got these fans that really want to make a connection with you and you're trying to live your life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't have to do it with hardcore porn, I guess, but you could, you know, maybe take it a couple steps down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, ultimately, if you got no one listening, well, ultimately if you make that connection, you're good. You know, you're good. That's what I try to tell the podcast. I mean, ultimately you're just being yourself, you know, on a podcast, hoping that other people will relate or connect with you, and chances are they will. So, but yeah, you don't want to take it too far, I suppose.
I think I took it too far when I made that joke about Brian when he got out of the hospital, and Suzanne unfriended me. This is about episode 41 or so. Right, I didn't know how serious it was that Brian like literally almost died. I just heard that he had internal bleeding.
Oh yeah.
So I made a joke that maybe Suzanne should use a smaller strap on.
Right. It's a good joke. He would have made the same thing if it was us.
Walt laughed at it and Q laughed at it, but Brian was pretty mad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on what mood he's in, but
have you been to the new stash a few times?
I have many times. It's a thing of beauty. So if you didn't know, the Secret Stash had to move a block south, and ultimately, if you listen, I think the last Smodcast, they basically found a place that was half the rent and bigger. So why wouldn't you do it? And not only that, but Kevin got a blank slate to do whatever he wanted. So they rebuilt the quick stop on the back wall. Buddy Christ has like a shrine and a pew and a kneeler. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. There's a Tell 'Em Steve Dave little studio in the back with a green painted green screen walls. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty. I mean, it was sad to see the old place go, but the alternative would have been shutting it down altogether, I think. So it's
is anything moving into 35 Broad Street, or
there's no chance. There's no chance. I can't imagine with the rent and probably the term that they want. You know, they probably want like a 10-year lease. You know, coming out of a pandemic, there's no way. The storefront, the new storefront that we moved into, literally vacant for I think 15 years. So wow.
I'd like to get up to the new place. I went to the Stash when it was on Monmouth one time.
Yeah, that's you're old school, man.
Yeah. I drove down there and Walt was working. I was so excited. And like I bought a couple of Kevin Smith things. I figured, hey, maybe Walt will say something about me being a Kevin Smith fan. Nope.
Nothing. Give me your money. All right. See you later. Get out.
And then I went down a couple times when it was at 35 Broad Street. I saw Sunday Jeff one time.
Yep.
I think Mark was working the other time I was there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I haven't been to the new place yet, but I'd like to get up there. We should do a Radio Labyrinth road trip and visit the Stash and record a podcast at Shared Universe. Oh, yeah.
You're invited. You're always invited. Always invited, my friends.
I've been to the store. I went to the Quick Stop. That was the only thing. It was either go to the comic book store or go to Quick Stop when I only had time for one or the other. So I had to hit Quick Stop. Speaking of the Quick Stop, now next door to the Quick Stop is going to be the new Smod Castle. Yes. Have you have any insight to that place?
I've seen it. Helped them hook up some audio gear there. It's it was also a thing of beauty. So both the new store and the Smod Castle, built and constructed by Ernie O'Donnell, who Clerks fans will know as Rick Darris, very very talented contractor. It's done. It's ready. I guess, you know what? The restrictions here have been lifted. I think we're, 100%, no masks. So I guess it's only a matter of time before. I imagine Kevin wants to kick it off. So I think he's trying to coincide it with the filming of Clerks 3, which is imminent. But I imagine, I haven't heard anything, but I imagine they got to be doing something soon. So, but it's ready. It's ready for crowds. It's ready. The main purpose is a live podcast theater. So if you have a podcast, it's a place where you can go and book it and perform live and sell tickets. And very novel idea in the podcast world, but not a novel idea in Kevin's world because he did this 10 years ago with a Smod Castle in L.A. back in 2009, I want to say, 2009, 2010. So
how many seats is it?
I believe it's about 75, so it was pretty intimate, but not small. So, it should be fun. I'm excited because the people who podcast here, I'm like, hey, go take a step, go book your own live show, sell your own tickets, get your own crowd, get a taste of live podcasting. It's very different. We've done it. We did it at a cool theater, and it's fun, but it's also very different as well.
Yeah, our little theater that we had when you came to the show during Dragon Con 2019 closed down, but
That was such a cool place. I had so much fun too, and I was one drink short of being drunk. Maybe some would say I was drunk, but man, I had so much fun.
Want to just mention that this is the anniversary of Kev's dad passing on June 1st, so I guess it's been about 18 years. So
Which is crazy. It was happened during Wizard World Philadelphia back what year? 18 years, so that would be 2003. And it was crazy. I was down there working there was a ViewAskew booth down there selling merchandise. Every year during Wizard World Philly, they would invite Kevin down to do like a big Q&A, and they would give him a table, and I'd gone down there to work it. And I remember, I saw his dad, his mom and dad, his whole family came down, and I talked to his dad, joked around with him, and then I remember the next day I came in to work the booth. I remember Brian Johnson pulling me aside. He's like, "Hey man, just want you to let you know, Kevin's dad had a heart attack last night and he passed away." And I was like, "Holy, what?" He's like, "Wait, what?" I just saw him. I was like, holy crap. And yeah, it was very sudden. And I was like, holy, like, I didn't even know how to react. But right. I was like, I just saw the guy. He looked great. We were joking around. And from what I heard that, yeah, after the con, they all went out for a steak dinner. And, I think he had a piece of chocolate cake or something. And
it sounded like he had a good last meal at least.
Yeah, and it was crazy. His mom was there. His brother had come out up for the con. His sister, who lived overseas, had come out for whatever reason. So the whole family was there, which would usually not have happened. His brother, I think, lived in Florida. And it was pretty crazy how it happened like that. I guess, you know, if there's one kind of good takeaway, that is the whole family was there.
Yeah.
I remember being there. I was like, holy crap, man, I can't believe, you know, everyone in shock. And I was like, well, what do we do? I was like, well, just, you know, work the table to make some money, man. That's what you're here to do. But, you know, it was definitely very shocking. Like, literally, I'd seen the guy, you know, whatever, 12 hours earlier.
You got anything you want to plug? You got any?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to start a podcast, and I love it. During the quarantine, we've helped multiple people do it online. Like, you don't even have to come. We have a physical studio, and if you go to Jin San Bob Secret Stash, come and record a podcast about it. Is you know, kind of what we like to do. But if you're listening to this and you want to do your own Radio Labyrinth, you totally can. Go to asharedunivers.com and. You can learn from a guy who has been on TV podcasting. Like, you can literally pull up an episode of a TV show and see me and partner Mike Zapsik podcasting. You know, what better commercial for this place than that? You know, there may be other fly by night podcast studios out there, but can they say they had podcasted on TV? I don't think so. So
as Mike had to step back a little at Shared Universe now that he's.
I mean, he never really. I mean, he was part. Yeah, he'd been in the store the whole time. But I mean, I do see less of him. So if Mike's actually got promoted to full time manager, so he's under the gun, man. He's that cushy, like, you know, 10-to-6 job, man. He's got to make hay, as we say, for the store. He's got to come up with it. He's got to come up with initiatives. So So I have seen him less, but I can't imagine the immense pressure he's under now to run a whole comic book shop. So, but he's doing a good job so far.
I would like to get up there and visit sometime.
You're always welcome. And yeah, definitely we're podcasting for sure. No doubt.
I mean, we could talk all night about this, but I know you've got, you've been traveling constantly. So I know you'd like to see your pillow at least once.
We'll see. Yeah. And you know, as off. Joked on Tell Him Steve Dave, like, I never see my wife and kids. You know, sadly, that's true. But
hey, you got to make that money sometime. There'll be plenty of time to see those
somebody's
kids.
Got to, man. And yeah, it's their fault, man. It's all about making hay, really. So,
well, now that the world's opening up again, you can start getting back to more. I saw you went to Pensacon.
Did. Pensacon's awesome. I'll be at LAN at least twice this year, if not more. And I'm trying to get down there. I have a very good support system in Atlanta, and I think they're gonna help me make this happen. So
we'll help any way we can.
I mean, you guys know your way around a mixing board, right? And a Zoom H6. I think stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, thanks again, Ming, for coming on and talking with us. And everybody's gonna check out Shared Universe for your podcasting needs, and we'll be in touch for sure. Can't wait for Dragon Con this year. So, you know, that'll just be a few months away. So, we'll be looking forward to you.
Awesome. Yeah. Whatever you guys do, I'm in for. So if there's a microphone, you know, I can't stay away. So.
Right on.
All right. Well, thanks, Ming. And, we'll catch you this fall.
Yeah, for sure. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Ming.
Hey everybody, Tim Andrews here from Radio Labyrinth. You know, I haven't been on the show in a couple of weeks because, well, we have a new addition to our household, and his name is Gilbert Pratt Andrews. He is an amazing little boy, and I love him to pieces, and I'm so glad he's here. And there's some business I want to take care of. First of all, thank you to every one of you out there who's given us well wishes and who's sent us gifts and things like that. It's just amazing. All the nice people who listen to this show and also to the Von Hesse Doctrine. And I want to thank Jeff, Steph, and Dustin for doing such a great job and Roby for coming on the show, and Brian Silverbacks for coming on the show, and everybody who's just been on the show and in lieu of me being on the show. I'll be back, you know, shortly. And until that time, I do want to thank a couple of people. I want to thank our brand new Radio Labyrinth producer. His name is Marty Johnson. He came in at the producer level, so thank you very much. You got a t-shirt coming your way. And I also want to thank our new sponsor, okay, Kyle Thomas. Now, we met Kyle out at Mike's Place, Atlanta Pizza in Euro. And what a great guy. And I just want to say, hey, thank you very much for coming on as a sponsor. I, you know, listen to me. I sound like an idiot, blah, 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 blah. But I wanted to get this done. And you're owed a t-shirt as well. You need to tell me what kind you want, because I'm just going to pick one. And maybe you might not like it. So go to the store. Look at that storefront too. I want to talk about what we're going to be promoting for Kyle. His wife has a new Etsy store. His wife's name is Lindsay. And it's called Cardstock Creations Co. Okay. And if you want to reach them, first of all, you go to Etsy.com/shop. Cardstock Creation Co. C-O. So it's Cardstock Creation Co. Or you can email cardstockcreationco@gmail.com. And I'm looking at all sorts of cool things from the Etsy store for baby, for events. These are some really cool items. You know, printing. You know, you're just going to have to go see it. Okay, I'm going to send Dustin some of the items that you can get. Listen, you got Advent calendars, aprons, hat decals. You can give one to your electrician. Nail art, name tags, reverse canvas picture, paper flowers, all sorts of cool stuff. And like I said, I'm going to send Dustin some pictures. So while I'm flattering and while the electrician's doing stuff, you'll be able to see some of these images. So thank you again to Marty and to Kyle. Sorry it took so long to get you guys into the program like this, but you know, moving forward, here we go. Take care, everybody. I will see you soon, and keep it canon.
So you had some technical difficulties, but you're joining us now.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Roby Neely.
What was your introduction to Kevin Smith, Roby?
I was watching. I had a video I watched every night I went to sleep to. I have no idea what it was. And they kept advertising, you know, the previews on them.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing Amy every night. So that's where I first heard of Kevin Smith, but Dogma. I saw Dogma. It's in my collection, and Dogma is one of my favorite movies. And that's where I really, really got into Kevin Smith.
I saw Dogma on video, but Chasing Amy, I actually saw it in the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the first one of the Kevin Smith movies that I saw in the actual movie theater.
Well, I liked him. I liked Dogma. I hadn't seen many of his other movies. But when I discovered his podcast is when my fandom just took off. And I discovered that because of Comic Book Men.
Right.
I saw the first season of Comic Book Men. And I'd already started switching to listening to podcasts while I was at work. And I'm watching the first episode going, they're sitting around a table with microphones. Are they doing a podcast? So I started searching and searching, trying to find, all right, let's see if there's a podcast for this. And that's where I found Jay and Silent Bob Get Old and Tell Them Steve Dave. And I found, Smodcast?
Yeah.
And from that day on, I probably listened to 14 hours of Kevin Smith and Tell Him Steve Dave till I got caught up. And that was about 2013. He's a couple of months older than me, and it felt like me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way about him. That was one of the main draws, was just nobody talked out loud like everybody talked when we were just joking around with people. And
Kevin was a big fan of Gregory MacDonald too, the guy that wrote the book that the movie Fletch is based on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His books are really dialogue centric. It's like just dialogue, 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 dialogue. And I think maybe Kev was influenced by that when he started writing Clerks. And this his whole take on witty banter and dialogue and stuff might have been influenced by those Fletch books.
Now, as far as Tell Him Steve Dave, did you, once you started getting into the podcast world, because I was, you know, I was with Smodcast from the very beginning, and then, you know, I just rolled right into Tell Him Steve Dave. You know, they had come on Smodcast for those first, you know, within those first 20 episodes, and kind of introduced Brian and introduced Walt, and kind of their, you know, the history of those, you know, those guys growing up and knowing each other after they got out of high school. And so I kind of leaned, I was very much into Smodcast and that, but I really, when Tell Him Steve Dave took off, I really related more to those guys than I think I ever did Kevin. Just because they didn't have what Kevin had in front of him. You know, they were on the outskirts of, you know, they had given Kevin probably all the energy and ideas and stuff that he needed to get rolling with them as, you know, the basis for a lot of characters. But I was always more interested in what they were doing. And so I really liked following those guys a lot more. I love the banter between them, you know, the constant bickering and arguing, you know, just like, you know, a group of real friends, you know, minus the microphones being on.
Well, yeah, you know, Kevin, Walt, and Bri are basically three sides of the same coin, is the best way to put it. They all grew up with that same banter mentality. You bust your friends' balls. Kevin's got a larger microphone and really, really loves to talk. Walt's grown into it. I mean, he's basically the antagonist who sits back and kind of just waits for his moment to pounce. And Brian's not afraid to say anything and let it all out there and just expose himself for the sake of humor. And I've always appreciated that, because my whole life, I would pick my moments, and I would throw them one-liners out there, but I would also go to the extreme of a joke. If I was telling a story, I wouldn't just quite, I'd exaggerate it to make myself look just a little bit worse in it, because I knew it was funny. It created something in the story, in the joke, when I was telling it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Kevin had that same issue. He built his entire career on self-deprecation. I mean, everything was, I'm the funny fat guy and I know it, and I'm telling you right up front, I'll tell a joke about myself before you can get one even in your mind. But using that as a defense mechanism, you know, throughout your life, he really got tuned into that. And then his whole, you know, he went through a few stages, you know, when he started smoking weed a lot, you know, that kind of definitely opened up his inhibitions, you know, to talk more, if that was even possible. But he definitely, you know, he would definitely, you know, go on about things. But, you know, when he started getting healthy and when he started looking different and not becoming the character that he had made for himself all these years, that was the part that interested me. If he could take that and flip it around and still keep going without using that same formula, that impressed me.
I think what that did was it, the heart attack motivated him. He had all these thoughts of things he wanted to kind of do, and he wasn't really pushing it. He was moving along with his Smodcast or whatever little ideas he had in his mind. But, you know, I don't know if Jay and the Silent Bob reboot would have been just as good, or Clerks 3, which is coming out, is going to be good. If he hadn't have looked at himself, decided he'd done everything he wanted to do in his life, but now what can I do? He's in that what can I do now phase. I mean, we got Masters of the Universe coming out with him doing it. He's got all kinds. I know he's got all kinds of projects he's not talking about in there somewhere.
Yeah.
We just kind of have to wait for him and put it out there.
If that heart attack hadn't, if that heart attack hadn't happened, would he have made amends with Jeff?
I don't think he would have. I think a lot of that stuff would have just, yeah, went on status quo.
Yeah. You still keep up with Smodcast?
I've still got it on my feed. My two Kevin Smiths per week are Fat Man Beyond and Smodcast. When he releases it, it's right there, just like it's not going away. And the last episode was really, really good because
Mosher was back.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Does he talk about coming back on more often?
No.
It's kind of ambiguous.
More often.
Yeah. I mean, he's moved closer, so he lives closer now to Kevin. So the opportunity's there, but I think with production stuff ramping up this summer for Kevin, I would doubt that they're going to have that many. He'll probably do what he usually does during production. You know, it's usually a very sparse.
Roby, did you listen to Phoebe?
No, I did not listen to Phoebe.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one for you to check out.
Yeah, if you like Mosher.
Mosher and Matt Myra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I may have gotten an episode or two in.
I think there's only maybe 30 or 40 Phoebes, but they were all great.
Yeah, it was funny. They always started off. I mean, it started off being one idea, but then it'd run to whatever they would talk about. They would throw the books in at the end, but it was a good one. And Mosher is such a great storyteller.
Yeah.
I wish he did more. Just if he did a podcast on his own, I'd listen to it with regularity as Kevin.
Well, yeah, it always surprised me when he'd throw out some podcast I was listening to episode or something that I'd read or seen that Kevin had no clue about. And Mosher was like, well, they got this latest Radio Lab episode here. Or I was listening to something on NPR and he'd throw out some information in there.
I recommend you check out Phoebe if you can find it still. I don't know what the feed situation's like.
I may still have the old Smodcast app on my phone.
It's still Phoebe is still it's still active. I mean, you can still get to it.
Yeah.
Now, are either one of you a member of the Kevin Smith Club?
No.
I've got a I hadn't for a long time, but they with the Facebook group, he gave a coupon code to us to get into it. And it's got everything audio that Kevin has done. So all of the podcasts, the only thing that's missing are Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which of course is on their own Patreon, and Ralph Garman's Hollywood Babylon is on Ralph Garman's Patreon. But they do have a weekly show because Hollywood Babylon, besides Tell 'Em Steve Dave and Smodcast, Hollywood Babylon was my third favorite.
Yeah.
Just because I love the way Kevin and Ralph play off each other. And, Ralph's show that's on every, you can get it every day on his, he does a daily Ralph report and it's really funny. But Kevin comes on once a week and does just the headlines section of Hollywood Babylon. They do that. It takes about, it's like a 30 minute show, but they have those on every week. So it's good, but man, all of the stuff all of the Kevin's podcasts, all it's Smodcast all the way back to the beginning is on there, which is odd because for the longest time, those first 100 episodes, they couldn't take the music back out of it that they'd put in the bed. Right. And so they couldn't legally have it on anywhere. And, but they've got them on there now and it's fun to go back and listen to some of those original stories, like how, Tusk came about and, the original podcast for it, which, those were the heydays of Smodcast with, they would just go off on a tangent and just bring up the weirdest concepts.
I think my favorite early episode of him was, I want to say 66. That's the one with the bank job.
Mm-hmm.
Bank job and the blow job.
Yeah.
I think that's I was driving when my child was born. He was in Albuquerque and I'm leaving from Odessa. And I was driving along the way and I think I almost had to pull over from laughing. Just mm-hmm. as I'm making my 8-hour trip to Albuquerque because I was crying for that episode. And I always remember it and I like, let me see if I can find it somewhere.
It's one of those things you can't really tell people about. I mean, you can to a point, but it's like nobody gets it how funny those things are. Cause there was a few times where, yeah, I'd be at the time, I think Smodcast was first couple of years, I was in a cubicle and man, I would just be crying, laughing, and people would always come by and ask, what are you laughing about? And I'm like, I don't think HR will let me tell you what I'm laughing about. But yeah, and I don't know, it was such a good time. I mean, it was something that you were so used to, just, it was like a, you know, part of your week that you just look forward to. And I hate that it's not as, it's not like that now, but I mean, you know, it evolved into other things, and, you know, those other things I still appreciate and still enjoy, but I guess like anything, you grow up with, or you spend a lot of time with, you just kind of develop more feelings and memories about, you know, how you experienced it the first time.
Right.
Oh, you do now. But going back and listening is a great idea. If you do get a chance to go on the Kevin Smith Club, just for nothing else, you can listen to that giant archive.
Right.
And it's worth the $10.
And the Tell 'em Steve Dave Patreon, man, they really take it seriously and provide tons and tons of content, video and audio, and just new shit every week.
Yeah, they when I was on it, they were throwing a ton of stuff. You didn't always like everything, but there was always something worth it on there.
I think that for Brian Johnson and Walt, who I imagine is still making a little bit of money from the stash, being the chairman of operations or whatever, but I think the majority of the income they have coming in is from Patreon now.
Well, I think that's their income, and I think Walt was kind of looking at that for when the stash closed.
We can wrap it up, but we talked a little bit with Ming about a couple of our favorite episodes of Tell 'em Steve Dave. Do you want to throw a couple of yours in, Roby?
Well, Walt Goes Postal.
Oh, yeah.
You have to love Walt Goes Postal. And the best line in there was Ming's. It was Susan. But, you know, that's just that's Walt doing what we all feel and think, that, oh my God, are these people such idiots? I don't have the episode number. I was kind of checking with curator on that. The episode where suddenly the light dings in Walt's eyes or head, where he decides, I've been phoning this in. I didn't realize our aunts were so good and so supportive. And I didn't think this was going to last. We're this far into it. From now on, I'm giving this my all. And that's when he kind of became creative director. But that whole episode, and I almost think that's where they first came up with the idea of Vinyl Cast. And the last one is, you got the first Pod Wars, the Bicentennial Wars.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Almost everything in there is funny. And the rap battle just, that just seals the deal.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So have any of y'all dreamed about Tell 'em Steve Dave or Kevin Smith?
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about that with Ming, but I haven't dreamed of Tell 'em Steve Dave, but I have had dreams where I'm just like friends with Kevin, and it's like it's not a big deal. It's just like a normal thing.
Right.
Like he's just a regular one of my friends.
I've dreamed about being in California with Kevin Smith and just sitting there, might be helping him make a movie, might be sitting on his couch with him smoking over there, and just all these people coming in and out, and just being friends.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Tell 'em Steve Dave. I've had three or four where we're just sitting there and we're just talking. The four of us are just sitting around a picnic table having a conversation. And those are pretty nice dreams to have.
Yeah, for sure.
And it just shows to you how they get into your psyche, and how much they're like what we grew up with our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end.
Well, that's the same way that when Kevin talks about Brian and Walt, and how I realized after, you know, listening to Steve Dave for so long that those guys have that same effect on me. You know, I want, you know, you want to be friends with them. You want to make them laugh, and you know, you want them to acknowledge, you know, that you're there too. It's a weird thing. Not many people can do that. I mean, I've listened to, you know, a lot of people or known a lot of people, but you know, I don't think I've given the same, that much of myself over to anything else in life, as far as something that I've heard, especially, you know, growing up, like hearing, you know, religion pushed down my throat, definitely didn't give, you know, as much as I give to, you know, Kevin and tell him Steve Dave for, you know, at least being there for me in a time where all it took was listening to these guys who didn't know me at all, have a conversation and have such a good rapport between themselves, like how Brian only wants to make Walt laugh. You know, that's his only goal. And what makes him feel good is Walt laughing. And, you know, just, you know, knowing that, it kind of lets you know that these guys, as brass as they come off, or as much as they're busting each other's balls, they really do love each other.
Right.
And their family, and they have so much respect for each other. And that's something that I think everybody wants in their life. And to get a little piece of that by just listening to these people have a conversation, and it's enough to satiate me in my life just by hearing it. I mean, that's powerful. That's something that, you know, doesn't, you know, you can't orchestrate that. That has to come, you know, naturally.
I'm going to bring this kind of full circle. Radio Labyrinth. I discovered that because Jeff put something on Twitter one day and I just happened to click over, had nothing to listen to. And I felt like I'd found the same type of people with Jeff, Tim. At that time it was Steph, and Autumn was coming in and out right then when I started listening. Made me instantly want to go back and listen to the old catalog. I was like, these are people also that are, they're down to earth, they're good friends, they're having fun. And it made me want to be part of that community also. In fact, I'm probably a little bit more of the Radio Labyrinth community now than I am of the Tell 'em Steve Dave community. And that's kind of because, you know, Tim and Jeff brought me in one time. It's like, hey, I like what you did right there. Come talk to us. Or they talk to you on Twitter, actually talk to you and have conversations with you.
We like having you, man.
Well, I love being here.
I'll tell you what, though, if it wasn't for Kevin's Modcast and Tell 'em Steve Dave, I don't know if Radio Labyrinth ever would have happened.
Well, you know, those were the trendsetters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, when I first started listening to Radio Labyrinth, I had the exact same kinship. Podcast, to me, has always been something that I can relate to. When I mean relate to it, I mean, you know, the people, the situation, it makes you feel like you're sitting in on a phone call of all, you know, a group of friends just talking about stuff. And that's what Smodcast was for me. That's what Tell 'em Steve Dave it was. And, you know, ultimately now that I'm on Radio Labyrinth.
Well, I can say that's what Radio Labyrinth is to us.
Yeah. Plug your Twitter and what you're doing over there.
I've got the Gold Star Award, which I decided one day, and it was actually kind of it was supposed to be a dig at Rockdale Tiger, Dean Poole.
Yeah.
Everybody deserves a gold star. And I gave him kind of a snippy compliment that day. And the next day I'm sitting there, Gold Star Award. You know, that just sounds nice. Everybody's so negative right now. Let's just give a gold star out to somebody.
Twitter is such a hive of negativity.
Right. So I started just giving random gold stars out to somebody. Anything I could think of. And then I got encouragement from Tim Andrews when he's like, well, that's a good thing. Just keep doing that. If you've got a recommendation for a gold star, give it to me. If they haven't received one, I've got a list of how many people have gotten one. And I try to give one for special occasions if something happens, or if I see somebody on my Twitter feed is down, I'll give them a gold star that day. And I try to give out one a day Very rarely do I give out two, but some days I'll give out a special one.
We really do appreciate it.
And I've also got iamyebor.blog. That's iamyebor.blog. That's my blog site. I haven't been putting too much onto it, but I've actually got, when TESD had their 40th episode, I wrote a blog about them and what they meant to me. So y'all can find that on there. Plus whatever thoughts I have, the songs I'm writing, I'll tell stories about how those are created. And I also have a YouTube channel. You can just follow me on Roby Neely. Every once in a while, I'll put up some old karaoke videos and the other stuff I'm working on right now. I've got somebody doing some artwork for me for a video. Get a video made for a song that I'm working on.
Cool.
I've got to say one more thing, because sure, I'll get in trouble if I don't. I am now the new editor of Hyperdrive.
Oh, nice. Oh,
okay.
Dean and Jared's podcast, they let me edit the last episode. If you listen to it, you can definitely hear a difference between 4 and 5, or 5 and 6, actually. And I will be the new editor of Hyperdrive. Kind of keep that thing a little bit tighter. Hopefully a little bit more, you know, instead of being dry with straight walkthrough, we could throw some instrumental breaks and some music's in there, and we'll see if we can kind of help that format a little bit. And they're all for it. They told me I had 51% of nothing in their company, so I'm that's where I've been before, and that's where I'll stay.
Thanks for coming on,
Roby.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, so coming up next episode next week, Steph probably going to be back. We'll get her to recount her illustrious vacation that she's been on, staycation.
She's been pretty busy this whole vacation. She's been in touch with a few people. She's trying to get that guy from Mr. In Between to come on.
Is he the main guy?
Yeah, the main guy. He's the creator, cool, and the actor and everything. And nice. I think he said he would do it, but I think it's got to be approved by the Mucky Mucks at FX.
Oh, okay.
So we're working on that. And then, yeah, she's trying to talk to that dude from Southside, that show Southside, yeah, that she loves.
So until next week, we all remember to
keep it
canon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.